tracks around Australia. Here's Inside Motorsport.
Hello and welcome to Inside Motorsport for another week. With the Formula One once again bringing out more headlines, with Mika Häkkinen making the jump off the start, beating off Schumacher into turn number one, and driving away with a sensational victory. After the race, Mika spoke to the world press and, was electrified with his start.
I think I said in Hockenheim, you make a start like I did, probably once a year, but it's not true. You probably do those twice a year. So I had a fantastic start, and I was able to overtake Michael and David before the first corner. Even it was very close with Michael in the first corner, but again that's what the racing should be, and we came round the corner in one piece. So that also explains a little bit. Sometimes when you do have something happen in the first corner, you need two drivers, and this was the case when both drivers did the right thing, so we went through 100%.
I think it's fair to say that throughout the weekend you've actually been struggling for a race setup. You said as much in the unilateral interview yesterday. Now, what did you do between the warm-up this morning when you were over a second behind Michael and this afternoon when you were a second quicker?
Do you expect an answer?
In general terms,
it was combination of fantastic teamwork with engine people and chassis people, and together with the engineers, we made some modifications to the chassis, which we thought was the right thing to do. And like we saw in the race, it was a fantastic thing to happen. It was very enjoyable to race, and unfortunately, obviously, I'm not going to tell you exactly what we did, but car was very fast.
Mika, for the first time this year, the championship lead has changed. It's gone from Michael to yourself. We're moving on to Spa. Do you now think that you're the favourite?
I'm sorry?
Do you now think you're the favourite for the championship?
I mean, you know, all the way through the season, people seem to talk a lot of different things, and they think, you know, who's going to win it, who's going to lose it, and who has lost the motivation, or who has the motivation, and, you know, all kind of discussion goes through all the way through the season, and I've been keeping my own head all the time and concentrating my work and going to the races to try to win, and that's what I'm going to do for the rest of the season, and I'm not going to really think about who's going to win it, who's going to lose it, because that will be decided at the end of the year when we count the points together.
The kart championship series at Mid-Ohio, their visit there punctuated with another Penske 1-2. It was Penske doing it once again with a fantastic 1-2 finish and victory going to the young Helio Castroneves, who has just driven away from the field right throughout this year 2000. The dominance of Penske was also felt when he was running in first position after being put on an IV drip throughout the build-up to the race, and found it extremely hard indeed.
I have to thank my team. I mean, Marlboro Team Penske did a fantastic job, gave me a fantastic car. Oh man, what a day. Team Drake, thanks for the good race. For everybody, Roger, to give me the opportunity. Roger was asking for my helmet if I win. So here we go. This is my helmet. The beginning was really tough. The beginning was very, very tough. I have to keep holding for Gil. He was pushing hard. I was trying to push him hard as well. So towards the end, I get very comfortable and much better. So when the yellow flag comes on, I was trying to, no, come on, I have to keep the rhythm. Thank God I finished. I go home, take care of myself, and let's go for the next one.
Gil Deferrin, the Penske teammate of Nevis, also had a strong performance, finishing in second position and extremely happy with the way the whole team is performing.
Team Penske has done a fantastic job today, and it's really, you know, to me it's nice to see us finally get this result, because, you know, we've been knocking on that door on that 1-2 there since earlier on in the year. We've both been running very, very strong, and looked like it might have happened in Portland, but then it didn't, and obviously happened here today. I'm very happy for me, for Elio, for the whole team, and this is a great day for the whole team.
When did he actually decide to run for the points, though, and let his teammate get the win?
Well, you know, after the first run of pit stops, you know, the first pit stop, we came in a lap before Elio and came out behind him and got stuff in traffic.
Christian Fittipaldi had a pretty strong performance coming in third, but it was a little bit of right who was racing for second place.
Depends how you look at it, a third or a first, because there was no way to match those two red and white cars today. So we won the race of the rest, and I'm happy for that. And I guess we just have to work a little bit more at it to try and get 10th next time.
He heads off to Road America, where he is the defending race champion, and that should make for an even more interesting contest, where he hopefully will be on a bit stronger ground against the Penskes.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I'm really excited to go back there. But in this business, I guess you have to be competitive everywhere. It's not because we had a great race last year that I'm going to go a little bit quicker. I guess you have to be good everywhere.
Well, with Formula One and the FedEx Champ Car Series doing extremely well in Europe, here's the surprising news. A controlled formula will be opening up in the year 2001. Graham Kelly, the former English Football Association boss, has made plans for a new open-wheel motorsport series to run in Europe. But in this interview with the BBC's World Service, he reveals it's going to be funded by European football teams.
It's a new motorsport event, single-seater car event, akin to Formula One, but the difference is that the cars are liveried and running and being driven in the names of leading football clubs across Europe. So, for example, you would have a red and white car or a blue and white car in the colours of your favourite team, possibly.
And would the club actually be running that car, or is it just club colours? I mean, is it, say, an Arsenal car?
Well, knowing Arsenal, if it were Arsenal involved, I can't divulge the names of the teams whom we're talking to at the moment. We're talking to the top four teams in each of the top six European football countries. So if it were a club like Arsenal, they would probably want to be very heavily involved in choosing the driver and choosing the mechanical team which was running the car bearing their name.
Have you gone further than just chattering about this, or is it really, I mean, have the club said, yeah, we'll go for it?
Well, we aim to have 26 cars on the starting grid in April 2000, and I visited those 26 clubs across Europe over the course of the last 18 months or so, and the reaction we've had is very positive, because all football clubs are looking for new income streams at the moment in these days of increasingly frantic and crazy transfer fees and salaries, and it's also a way of widening, broadening their brand image, of extending their brand image into another area. And what we've found in our research, particularly of the English clubs concerned, is that a good number of their existing supporters, 38% of season ticket holders in fact, are already very interested in motor racing in Formula One.
Yeah, but they like the top line motor racing, that is the best drivers and the best cars. And although I understand that you'll have specially made cars so that they'll all be the same, but they won't be the top drivers, will they? And it won't really be the top racing.
There are plenty of good drivers out there who can't get drives at the moment in Formula One unless they bring sponsorship to the party. And, across Europe, there are a good number of very competent and very good drivers whom we hope to make into household names. But we're not pretending that the Schumachers of this world are going to be clamouring to join Premier One as of day one. Certainly not.
Now, one of the attractive things that seems about your scheme is that they'll all have pretty similar cars. And so what we'll find out is who is the best driver rather than which is the best.
That's the beauty of it. To mix the metaphors, it'll be a level playing field, because the determining factor will be the skill of the drivers and the skill of the mechanics on the day.
Yeah, so the idea is that in April 2002, on a proper Grand Prix track somewhere.
Oh, certainly, yes. I mean, for instance, in Britain, we are talking to Silverstone at the moment. We haven't reached agreement with them. But it will be proper motor racing circuit.
So we have proper racing circuit, proper cars, proper drivers. Who's going to pay for it all in the first place, Graham?
Well, it'll be paid for through commercialisation, through advertising and sponsorship on the cars, and the better audiences we get through terrestrial television, the more likely we are to get sponsorship and advertising on the cars.
Will it cost the clubs something?
No, it won't cost the clubs. They'll be participating in the revenue rather than the reverse.
Thanks for being with us on Inside Motorsport. I hope you can join us next time round.
Inside Motorsport is produced by Thunder Media in the studios of Triple S FM Canberra via Comrade Sat with the support of the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia.